Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I have a special guest on the episode with me, Dr. Petra, where we're going to be talking about all things spiritual, brain health, and self-confidence as well. So welcome to the show, Petra.
Thank you for having me.
Well, appreciate you being here. And it's great. You're also a fellow neuroencoding specialist like myself. So really going to enjoy diving into our conversation today. So I'll just do a quick introduction and then we'll go into the conversation today. So Dr. Petra is a scientist turned spiritual healer. She's an expert in brain health science and peak mental performance. Her motto is science plus wisdom is love. Awesome. Love that motto. Never heard it before, but a really, really good one. So tell us, Dr. Petra, what got you into this area and tell us a little bit more about yourself.
We are diving into a very personal segment already. By education, I'm a scientist and engineer, and this was my world, right? And it still is. I believe in science, I admire science, yet it's not the whole world anymore. And due to a very tough personal experience, our daughter got extremely sick at the age of 10, and science could not help her. Couldn't help us. And she survived. The medical doctors had told us we are supposed to say goodbye to her. She would not survive the night. And the next morning she was still breathing, and I didn't know what helped her, what had helped us at the time. And it was an intense journey for her to recover. And science couldn't explain it. And this was the turning point for me to dive into that, to allow for that to happen, that there is more than my beloved science could explain. And this is when I opened up my brain, and I was used to, and I wanted to use that hemisphere, that analytical one, right? And due to that experience with our daughter, I decided to also use the other hemisphere, the creative one, the spiritual one. And this was the turning point for me, right? And science, the knowledge is, from my perspective, still extremely important. Plus the wisdom, right? What we cannot scientifically explain or measure or predict, but we see the results, we see the outcome. And this together to me is love. It's all about love. Life is about love and loving and being loved. This is how I came up with my motto that really helps me through the good times and also the challenging ones in my life.
No, and thank you for sharing that example there and the story about your daughter and then actually how you've taken on both views of the scientific and then the spiritual one as well to develop an all-in-one love approach, which is amazing. And obviously love being a key thing that we all want more of and we all love having. Not using the word love too much there. Anyway, so as you know, there's quite a lot of us out there, and some of us have beliefs about, you know, more on the science side, some maybe more on the spiritual side. What are maybe a couple of things that people can do to really start getting more into the spiritual side if that's something they want to explore a little bit more?
What I would say is be open. Give it the chance that it's there. Right? Even if we cannot see it, if we cannot touch it, if we cannot predict it, just give it that room, have the faith that it's there. Right? We couldn't see hundreds of years back in time, we couldn't see atoms, but they existed already. And maybe it's the same or similar with spirituality. We cannot see it right now, but with trusting that it's there, we might come closer to what we really want in life, right? Success, happiness, love, peace, balance. Just give it the chance in your life that it might exist, even though we can't actually prove it right now. And I think that's why it's called belief, right? If we would know with certainty, we would call it knowledge. Since we don't know it with certainty, we call it belief. We decide to believe in something according to what we've experienced so far.
Yeah, love that concept of belief, and then you have to believe it after, well, you started believing it after obviously your daughter's story, and then yeah, just getting people to, you know, try and believe it's there a little bit more, and you know, feeling into it, because sometimes, like, I like your example of the atoms as well, couldn't necessarily see that, like, you know, all those years ago, but now we kind of know it more. So yeah, thanks for kind of sharing that. I noticed you talked about the soul's plan. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what this is?
Thanks for asking the question. I've had three near-death experiences. And before that, right, as I said earlier, my life was science. And I had never heard about a near-death experience before. I didn't know that this existed. And during my first near-death experience, I got the insights, I got the information that we have a plan, that there is a plan for us, that we are supposed to understand and follow that plan during our lifetime, this current lifetime. And I'd never heard about previous lifetimes before reincarnation. So I was really, a novice in that. And with the following two near-death experiences, I got more information about that life plan, or maybe we call it life purpose. And when we understand, when we can read that map, then we can live our life according to that map. And then life gets much easier. I don't want to say it's easy, right? It still has challenges. Yet when we do what we have agreed on in that plan, in that map, life becomes easier when we follow that path, what we are supposed to learn and supposed to do during this lifetime. Things become easier and faster. We can speed up our progress and we are more fulfilled. And we are in alignment with that map. It's so much faster and easier and more fulfilling.
Love that, the soul's plan. So the soul's plan's a little bit into, if I'm right, it's about feeling it's good for you rather than, you know, something else you feel like you should be doing.
Correct. It's
Okay.
exactly because very often we feel when we grow up, right, we feel we should learn that, we should do that, we should, and this is very often based on other people's soul's plan,
Ooh,
what
like
they
that.
think would be good and would be the right thing to do. It's not necessarily in alignment with our own soul's plan.
Yeah, I like that. I really that kind of like hit what's the word I'm looking for? Light went off there, basically, when you said someone else's soul's plan is kind of impacted on us. And guess that's quite a common thing that often comes up on this podcast is you might see someone else doing something and they're loving what they're doing, and then you're like, wow, I want to be like them. And actually that doesn't like light you up, like it makes them as energized and they enjoy it as much. It's just that you feel like you want to be like that because you've seen it in someone else. So I like what you're saying about really paying attention to your soul's plan and following what's right for you. So how can, you know, quite a lot of us, we live in a very busy world and we're like busy, busy, busy. What's kind of the kind of like first steps you would give to someone to start understanding what their soul's plan might be?
First of all, check in with yourself, right? When you are super successful, super happy, super fulfilled, keep doing what you are doing. You're on the right track, right? If things are easy, yes, you need to put effort into your work and life. But if it feels easy and it fulfills you and you get up in the morning and say, hey, I'm excited that I can do what I'm doing, you're on course. Don't change. If this is not the case, right? If you get up in the morning and you think, oh, another day, I have to do that. My go-to method is I hit that imaginary pause button. I pause for a moment and my button is red. It really says pause. Okay. And take a couple of deep breaths, because deep breaths and especially deep exhales, usually we inhale deeply, but it's very often not as easy to exhale as deeply. And that's key. When we exhale deeply, we calm down that inner noise, that inner chatter. And this is when we can connect with our own soul. It's about calming down. And I'm not talking about a whatever 40 minute, one hour pause and calm down. No, it's a couple of breaths. And check in with yourself. Is this what I'm going to do, what I'm about to do, a I should or a I want? And if it's a should repeatedly, if you always feel, oh, I should or I have to, course correct. It's probably necessary to realign or to align at all if you haven't done it before. And if it's a I want to see my clients, I want to go to the office or wherever you go, then you're on the right track.
Yeah, I like that. And I was kind of laughing a little bit when you said that, because actually earlier I was very much in kind of this rush mode, and I actually sat down and got my journal out and was listening to a little bit of Gabby Bernstein and a meditation. And I was just kind of like doing that. So it's this connection with the universe one, and you just like sitting there and doing these deep breaths, and then you journal after it. So it's a really good practice to kind of slow down and then like write down what's coming out. So it's
and don't judge, right? Just let it flow. And when we judge whilst we are writing, it's not that natural flow. Just let it out. Pay attention that you exhale deeply and judge later. Read what you wrote and then see how it feels.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like what you said about judgment there and not judging yourself, which actually brings me on to the next question a little bit. So say you know, it's important to take some time out to pause, hit that imaginary red button, as you were saying, and then try and figure out, is it I have to, or, you know, I get to, excitement kind of thing, and then trying to find your soul's plan. When we've found our soul's plan, and we're like, okay, that's what I want to do, and then that fear of judgment from others comes up, what kind of guidance would you give to someone then if they're just worried about that judgment of others?
Judgment of others, we cannot ignore it, right? Because we, most of us know from experience, it can be pretty painful. Just don't allow it to be on the steering wheel, right? If the fear of judgment of others steers your life, your car, it's not a good place. Put it on the driver's seat or in the back seat. That fear can accompany you. He or she can come along. That's okay, right? If in the moment when we try to eliminate that fear, to get it down to a zero, I think we set ourselves up for failure, because we probably can't do that. But if we put it on the drive next to the driver's seat, on the passenger seat, we are still in control, and we can do what we feel we want to do, right? The fear is still there, and we will be judged. I mean, that would be an ideal world, but if you wouldn't be judged, but we will, right? And some people will love what you do, and some people will not appreciate what you do. That's what I think, what's human nature, at least at this level of evolution. Yeah, we will be judged, but that fear must not hold us back from doing what we want to do. Right. And there is another fear when we are talking about fear. I think there is a different kind of fear when we follow our soul's plan and we are in alignment with that. There is an emotion that we experience as fear, and this happens when that thing that we want to do and we know we are supposed to do when we are right on track, because that is big. And that is what we sense as fear. If it doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. But it's a different fear than the fear of being judged by others. It's that fear of doing what we are supposed to do to step into our own power. It's a different fear, but that's a good one, I
It's a
think.
good, yeah, it's a good fear. That one that comes up, and I like what you said about judgment in that. It's, it's always going to be there. And often something I say on this podcast is sometimes we see like a confident person, really going for it all, doing really well, and perhaps their soul's plan, and we think, oh, they've got no fears. That's completely false, right? I keep repeating that on every single episode pretty much, because I used to be one of those people that thought, oh, confident people have no fears. Everyone has fears. We've all got that fear of judgment. It's just how we handle it. And, like Joseph, our mentor, says, there are no fearless people. There are just people who fear less because they push through it more and more and go through that.
Correct. And one thing that I recommend and that I do, that's why I know it works, right? When the fear of judgment, the fear of not being good enough becomes really big, connect with yourself in the moment when you were born, right? When we entered this lifetime as the little babies, we didn't fear that we would be too skinny or too jobby, that we would not be worth of being fed or held or protected. We knew we are good enough. And reconnecting with that inner wisdom, with that inner knowing, exactly who I am, this is who I'm supposed to be, and that's good enough. I'm worthy. And reconnecting with that and not giving too much power to that judgment of others, this is what's really helpful for me.
Yeah, going back to that moment when we didn't have all those judgments as a baby.
Correct. Yeah.
When we'd throw up on people and make loud noises and things like that. But yeah.
Right. That natural, hey, I'm here. I'm okay, exactly the way I am.
Yeah. It's just that conditioning that comes into the and then kind of layers down the soul a little bit.
Correct. And I think we are born, not I think, but we are born with two kinds of fear, right? We are born with the fear of loud noises, and we are born with the fear of heights, of falling. Those are the fears that we are born with. All the other fears, we learned, we are conditioned to develop those fears.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good I've that's a really good point. That it's all learned, and therefore, we've got the power to move through that as well, because they were just things that were learned. So absolutely. So what I wanted, a couple more things. I just love your kind of like wisdom on the spiritual side, and also, but also combining the brain health side as well, and or the science rather, you know, it's both how they go hand in hand, is like with our soul's plan or where we want to get to, we have this ambition. Now, we have a very, particularly in the US and the UK, we've got these very competitive societies sometimes that come up, like, I want to get to like this end goal really, really fast, right? We've got this soul's plan and we're like, okay, that's what I want to do. I know I want to build, but then we get a little bit frustrated about where we are now. So how can people, you know, appreciate where they are now a little bit more, and how can they enjoy it more?
It's about the journey, right? Mm-hmm. And where we want to be is kind of, you put it in your navigation system, that's where you want to be. And if there's a detour, a road close to construction, you can either enjoy the scenery that you didn't get to see earlier, or if there wouldn't be a detour, or you can be frustrated, right? We have a choice.
Mm.
I think what's important is that we never lose sight of where we want to be, what's our destination. And I do not mean that that's the end destination, right? There are multiple steps on that journey. But yeah, take the journey, and some parts of the road we can drive faster, and some parts of the road, hey, slow down, watch out, see what you see, what you can see and enjoy, right? And depending on the hills, up and downs, it also depends how far you can see, right, the horizon. When we are on the top of a hill, we can see really far, and we see clearly the vision and the roadmap. And when it's a windy road, as an analogy, right, we can see so far, and we need that faith, that trust that it will open up, that we will get to see it again.
Yeah, I'm liking these analogies. Yeah, it's a good example you used there. So thank you for that one. So yeah, I just kind of a question I'd like to I'd like to ask a question about questions, basically, as someone who's a scientist, but then obviously looked in being a scientist turned into a spiritual healer, you know, you'll be kind of used to asking lots and lots of good questions and kind of studying things, and particularly the questions you would have been asking when these kind of life-changing discoveries happened for you. Do you find there's a difference in the questions people ask themselves from those who are perhaps happier and living their soul's purpose from those who perhaps aren't as happy? Do you notice a difference in the kind of questions people ask themselves in life?
Definitely, yes. From what I see in working with my clients, from my practice, I don't want to say in general, right? But I see from my practice, people who are not on their soul's plans map, who are not aligned yet, they oftentimes ask questions about why. Why am I not so happy? Why did this happen to me? Mm. Why am I experiencing that challenge? It's a lot about themselves and the why. People who are in alignment or more in alignment, they often ask how. How can I improve? How can I make a bigger impact? How can I support? It's more focused to the outside, and it's more the how. How can I be of help and support? And to me, both are necessary, right? When we understand why, or why we feel the way we feel, we can move forward and go into the how. How can we change? How can we support? How can we impact and help others?
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Getting the awareness, but not necessarily sticking in that place where, you know, it's sometimes, and I like the example you brought up of why is it happening to me? You know, that's always putting that kind of stuck mindset in it a little bit. Sorry, not necessarily mindset, but stuck place in your head. You're kind of going to be stuck in that one. But then the how do I feel amazing? How do I start living my soul's plan? How do I discover what I really want? How do I make every day awesome as much as possible? Those kind of powerful questions.
Yeah,
absolutely. So really, really, I've been making lots of notes, particularly about the soul's plan. And yeah, just I'm always interested to hear I love hearing the spiritual side. And I used to be always against, like, what they are about. But then, like, the last, you know, 2-3 years, I really embraced it. And I'm like, wow, like having conversations with something a bit more, and then weird things start showing up in my life in good ways when I'm feeling good and putting good energy out. I can totally relate to it. And that's why I thought it would be a great conversation today to you to kind of share your experience as well on that side.
Thank you.
Yeah. So before we kind of wrap up today, are there any kind of final words you wanted to share that perhaps I hadn't covered?
I think you did cover a lot, and confidence, right? We are talking about the mindset and how do we get there to be confident. And confidence does not just happen from my experience. It's not just there, right? We had it as we've been born. We've been confident that we are good enough, right? But we need to nurture it. I think it needs nurture and love and kindness and care. And the more we practice, I think the more we nurture it, confidence, right? Doing things that we doubt ourselves, for instance. I'm a retired firefighter, and from that experience, right, how much did I doubt myself? I'm not 6 foot something tall. I'm not that strong. And I did doubt that I could contribute to the fire department. And absolutely, yes, with hindsight, I could, right? There have been jobs that I could do just because of my size, right? It was in Switzerland, and the windows in Switzerland, some windows are small. And if you are not 7 foot tall with the uniform that big, you fit through that window easier. I couldn't carry two hoses at once, it's not me. And getting that encouragement from others, I think that helps. And when we live our life, and the more we are in alignment with our soul's plan, the more happy we are, the more confident we are, I think the more we can share and encourage others to do their journey and step into their confidence. I think that ripple effect, that encouraging each other, is a very important thing from my perspective.
Absolutely. Like pushing through some of those doubts.
Yeah.
Keeping on your plan and encouraging others as well. So it's great final words on sharing the kind of the confidence there as well, and nurturing it as much as possible. So thanks again so much for all your insight today, Petra. I've appreciated having you on. Before we go, where can people find you? I believe you've got a website.
That is correct. My website is my name, petrafraser.com. That's the easiest way to connect with me.
Awesome. We'll be sure to put that link in the show notes as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It was my honor.
I appreciate you coming on, and it's really great to connect and speak again. So thank you for being here. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, work on your self-confidence every single day.